incidentally created by Al Gore. Laugh. We're thankful that we have this opportunity to use this World Wide Web for good. You know, you can use anything for good or for evil. And so it's a precious thing to be able to take a magnificent tool like the Internet and use it for good. My name is Chip Horton, and I'm thankful to be with you today. I work alongside of the good brethren here at Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, home of the GospelRadioNetwork.org. And we normally salute our regular listeners. We're thankful that you are with us today. I know my lovely wife is certainly tuned in, as always. We welcome you, darling. I know that Mom and Dad normally listen over in Franklin, Tennessee, and Grandma from, or Mama, as it should be stated, is down from Richmond, Virginia, and I know they might very well all three be sitting around the table listening, so welcome to all of y'all. I know Miss Frida is listening out on the highway in her new fancy abode with that new fancy porch built by her wonderful son-in-law. Glad to have you aboard. Certainly Ann that listens down in Winsboro. We're thankful to have you along as well. So very many of you that are listening, some of you that have the opportunity to tie into the chat box and make your mention, you know, that you are here. We had a visit yesterday from Sean. And I see where my darling wife has checked in here. So good morning to all of y'all. Use the here's Sean. Good morning, Sean. I know Sean's out there listening. Glad to have you along with us today in the chat window. I'm flying this machine solo this morning. His brother Richard is away on some pastoral duties. So I may not be able to respond to you in the chat window, but certainly send your comments, and we'll try to add them as the opportunity presents itself. I'm not much of a multitasker, but I'll try to bounce from pain to pain, as it were. I use the eSword for some of my resources, and so I bounce back and forth from eSword back to the chat window, and that's a big thing for me. But we're glad that you're with us. No sense in wasting any more time. I'm glad that you have found us and you're with us. We're in Titus 3 today, and we'll begin there in a moment. But we would remind you that today is the last day of the Edgewood meeting. Today, as they close up the story of redemption, as has been brought to us, I think tonight, let's see, tonight, oh, wow. Willie Alvarenga, what a powerful gospel preacher Willie is, and he'll be wrapping up tonight under the story of redemption within the end. And so if you need directions or things of that nature, you can call him at 903-896-1420 there at the Edgewood Church. They'd be glad to talk to you. But again, that's the meeting wrapping up there at the Edgewood Church of Christ there on Highway 80. Also be reminded, please, October 15 and 16, the 7th Annual Back to the Bible Lectures is taking place at the Park Heights Church of Christ there in Hamilton. And they have a great series of lessons that are going to be brought to you Saturday beginning at 2, wrapping up about 5 or 6. And then the regular opportunities on Sunday, 9:30, 10:30, and 1, ending up with Jordan Moore. And so you're welcome to be a part of that. And again, that's October 15 and 16 with Back to the Bible Lectures at the Hamilton, the Park Heights Church of Christ there in Hamilton, Texas. Also, be aware of the restoration discussion that'll be going on October the 15th over at the Emory Church of Christ. And here in big bold letters, lunch will be provided. That's always a good thing to be able to mention. So they'll be kicking off that day with Bradley Cobb and Mark McWhorter and ending up with Mark and Bradley that afternoon as well. So take your opportunities to go and listen to Mark and Bradley as they talk about the restoration in America. They're at the Emory Church of Christ. down there on Lennon Drive. They'd be glad to have you, and certainly you can call them if you need some more information at 903-473-2658. You can get directions. You can get any extra information that you might need about that. They'd be glad to hear from you. Also going on, we have the opportunity to listen October the 16th through the 19th, the North Main Church of Christ, a busy congregation indeed in Malvern, Arkansas. They have Adam Orr coming in to discuss saving the saints. And so on that 16th Sunday, Sunday the 16th rather, their times of assembly are 9:30, 10:30, and 2, and they'll be discussing saving the saints from spiritual illiteracy, from apostasy, and from apathy. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7, saving the saints from idolatry, from anxiety, and from the adversary, respectively. So if you'd like more information about that, you can call the good brethren there in Malvern at 501-332-2273, and they'd be glad to talk to you and maybe even tell you a little bit about Adam Orr. But look forward to that October 16th through the 19th. Also, be aware that there's a 13th annual Ladies' Day that we've been telling you about for some time now that's coming to you on October the 22nd. Holly McCormack, the good helpmeet of John, who preaches with the Atlanta Church of Christ, is coming to talk about living without fear in the current culture. And so you're invited to go, ladies, and register at 9:30 that morning. And the program will begin about 10, and they have a salad luncheon beginning at 12 and be dismissed after that. So there's a note here that says, please encourage your high school and college age ladies to attend as well. So we appreciate the North Jefferson congregation as they even made some changes to their schedule due to a scheduling issue we had even here that we'll discuss here in a moment. But the 13th Annual Ladies' Day at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. Also, be aware that in Marshall, you've been invited in to listen to Charles Harris as he has the opportunity to come and speak from October the 30th to November the 3rd. And he is going to be answering some questions along the lines of, have you ever wondered? And he's got questions on Sunday like, do you know the greatness of God? Have you bowed before his throne? And are you curious how to approach the Bible? And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, some more great questions, ending up on Thursday with, are you ready for Christ's return? And so on Sunday, their meeting times are 9:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. And then Monday through Thursday, Brother Charles will be addressing the congregation there at 7 p.m. nightly. And you can call them at the Marshall congregation if you have any questions at 903-938-2373. And next to last, we have this North Main Church of Christ again in Malvern, Arkansas, is having a Ladies' Day. And listen to this title, Being a Christian Lady in a Gender-Neutral World. That's going to be a great topic to address, absolutely. And so we appreciate April Meacham coming in for that particular presentation. And they have asked you to RSVP to the best of your ability. That day on November the 12th, they're going to be beginning with registration at 9 and try to get into the lesson on 9:30. And it'll be on... we're doing sign language here.
Don't forget the TGRN lectures as well.
Right, TGRN. I'll just throw it to you on that because we need to absolutely advertise that. By the way, Richard has joined us in the studio. Glad he could make it over. He's been sitting with one of our members at the hospital, and so we're glad to have him with us. So jump in there, brother, and tell us a little bit about the TGRN lectureship that's coming up.
Yeah, we hope that we have a good turnout, so we invite you to make your way to Mount Vernon November the 5th and 6th for the 3rd Annual Gospel Radio Network Lectures and Supporters Banquet. We're going to have that lectureship that will go on Saturday and Sunday. Proclaiming the Gospel of Peace is the overall theme, so we hope that you would be able to come and be a part of that. Plan on feeding you some good brisket that day as well. get to shake your hand and visit with you. We hope that you can make it. And if you can't, make it all the way to Mount Vernon, well, you can just click right there to the Listen Live button or the special broadcast. We're going to be broadcasting this event live on the network, so you can join us then.
But don't you dare use that as an excuse to stay home now.
That's right.
We want you here. We want you here.
We want to see you face to face.
That's right. And Sean chimed in as he did yesterday, and he's reminding us that today is the last day of the 19th annual Lubbock lectures that are being streamed online with the OABS Academy. And so thank you, Sean, for that reminder. And we look forward to being able to catch up with that, even as it's being recorded. Also, we want to just thank you for being with us today and be able to be with us in the studio, even as you have opportunity to chime in. We had a great discussion yesterday in Chapter 2. Appreciate Sean as he was with us and continued to comment along the way. And so in Chapter 3 today, as we wrap up, we mentioned the other day, Richard and I did, as we discussed the way these epistles are running now, you almost don't have an opportunity to talk about it. Like tomorrow, we won't even get a shot at Philemon, you know? It's just that one chapter. So you better hope, if you want anything to do with Philemon, that it's your day that it rolls around. So Brother Chris will do a fine job tomorrow, I'm sure, Lord willing. But here we are wrapping up yet another epistle. We have Titus chapter 3. Yesterday, Ryan did a fantastic job in leading us through that discussion. And even though I had just a few verses, seemed like we were right at running out of time again. And so the same thing is true today. Not that many verses to face before us, but a lot of content. And here we are 15 minutes into the broadcast. And so we're ready to get started into Titus chapter 3. And we'll just read a couple of verses together. Let's just look at this idea of being reminded about some things in verses 1 and 2 together as we begin.
Remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men.
So here we have practical instructions, right? And he says, put them in mind. This is the idea of being reminded. The same thing that we see in places like 2 Peter 1. You might look at verse 12 and following, where it says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Look at here. Though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And so, Richard, we can continue to preach on marriage, divorce, remarriage, even though we know the law. We can continue to preach on baptism for the remission of sins, even though we know the law. It's good to be reminded. And I am reminded, even from a secular standpoint, that in the job site, I know with the school district, you have to continually go back and be trained on CPR, even though you already know it. You have to go back and have safety training for driving the bus. And they teach you the same thing every single class. But the point is that we need to be reminded from time to time. And certainly that's the idea behind what we just see here. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Certainly our minds may reflect back to Romans chapter 13. Where we read this instruction from Paul, beginning at verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And so much the same thing is being taught here. These powers are set up by God. And so as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as a good citizen, we are to respect the powers that God has put into place. Be mindful of this and obey the magistrates to be ready to every good work. And so we have this obligation to obey. A good child of God is going to be an individual that is obedient as God has taught us to, and be ready unto every good work. You know, these good works are those things that that please the Father. You think Noah ever did anything to please God? You think Abraham ever did anything to please God? You know, you think of all kinds of passages that may come to mind. do good unto all men. Galatians chapter 6 at about verse 10, right? We have to that responsibility to do good. And so good works are something that we're to be ready to do. When the door knocks, you should be ready to open it. You know, we pray for opportunities, don't we? We pray for these things to be given unto us. We sing that song, "Lead me to some soul today." But when we meet that soul, what do? Are we ready for the good work that's been set before us? You know, that's a blessing in this life indeed.
And, you know, here even to obey, we obey God always,
yes,
rather than men, to obey God rather than men. But in the context here we're looking at, you know, it's right behind being subject to the rulers and the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
As citizens and Christians, mm-hmm, we should be the best citizens of a country. We are going to be submissive citizens. When the law does not conflict, you know, telling us to either do something that God has told us not to do or restrict us by telling us not to do something that God had commanded us to do.
Mm-hmm.
In those cases, you know, all authority is founded in God.
Right.
But we are also subject to that delegated authority throughout.
Absolutely. And even the great example of obedience, certainly we should be reminded of passages from time to time, like Hebrews 5 and verse number 9, where the writer puts, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so we should be obedient to the obedient one. These wonderful opportunities that God puts before us, you know, many times may make us reflect back to passages like Matthew 7 and verse number 12. And so we would want to live by the rule of God, that golden rule, as it has been tagged from time to time, and treat others in such a way that we ourselves would want to be treated. And we certainly would appreciate others doing good works for us, would mm-hmm. we not? So there's several ways to look at that and several sermons that we could draw out of that, I'm sure, about good works. And so there's many things that follow in that particular passage. Notice all of the things that are mentioned. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And so here we have this beautiful reminder of how we are to act and things that we are not to do. And so do's and don'ts, practical instructions that help us in our daily living for Christ, even, if you will, mornings for the Master. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, Paul says, speak the truth in love. And so all of these things should be reminders for us on a daily basis. In verse number, let's read verse number 3, and then we'll launch into the next section, which begins at verse 4. But what does verse 3 say right here, brother?
And even before we read that, pointed out, and remind our listeners, you know, we are, as Romans 13, 1 through 14 brings out, to obey those laws that are set in place by the government,
right,
you know, subject to it.
Absolutely.
But verse number 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
So what I see here, and maybe I hadn't stepped too far off into it here, is that here we have a description of the condition of those that were once lost in sin. You know, we, does he not say we there? He continues to include himself. You know, even as you think back to Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned. Does he not include himself in that? And so on one side of the watery grave of baptism, we're hateful, we're envious, we're in a lost situation. But then notice how we are to act on the other side as we're raised to walk in newness of life. No longer delving into those pleasures and living in malice and envy and being hateful. That's not in even the vocabulary of the child of God.
It, that contrast, he tells them, okay, remind you to do this because this is what you once were, the opposite of all of this. You know, so we are different people. We're changed people. The Colossians are putting off and putting on, you know, they're in Colossians 3. But remember what he said in the very beginning of this, and putting ourselves back on this island where Titus is at the moment as he receives this epistle. He says that the Cretans are liars, they're evil beasts, and they're lazy gluttons.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, that's what one of their prophets said. And Paul said, this testimony is true. So, you know, here's these folks,
mm-hmm.
and here's what you used to be, just like we see in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. You know,
mm-hmm.
none of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you. We used to be these things ourselves.
Absolutely. One of the things that really stands out and, you know, is easily preachable is this idea of being once deceived. You know, the idea of deception is an incredible tool in the devil's tool belt. And so you think about how hamstrung he would be if he didn't have deception. I mean, mm-hmm. you take that all the way back to where Richard has been with us in class recently in Genesis chapter 3. That's deception. That was deception from the very beginning. He has always been a deceiver. Paul reminds that of in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 3. But he has always been a liar. He has always been a deceiver, and it hasn't changed. And so he continues to deceive. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, verse 33, be not deceived, right? And so we're reminded on a daily basis throughout these wonderful epistles that we can be deceived. You remember the Galatians, Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And so if we face the adversary in an unfaithful manner, we can very easily be deceived. And so hence the reminder that we see over and over, even just yesterday, to be sober-minded, yeah, because he is out there waiting to deceive us. And if we allow ourselves to be intoxicated, whether through false doctrine or whether through some sort of intoxicants, deception lies at the door and waits on each of us.
You know, that's his most effective tool. You know, mm-hmm. he is the inventor of deception. You know, he was the father of all liars.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was from the beginning. So, I mean, he doesn't have a very elaborate toolbox, but he has an effective one.
A good one, yeah.
You know, and it works. And, you know, that idea of deceiving is probably the most widespread tool that he uses. It's his universal tool.
Mm.
And James, remember, James said, if we're hearers only and not doers of the word,
mm-hmm.
then what do? We deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we're deceiving ourselves. And so that's, you know, his most effective tool, and he's used it throughout.
And really, when you look at these other mentions, lusts and pleasures, envy, these are really basically deceptions on some particular level. You know, boy, I bet that tastes good, or boy, I bet that feels good, or I bet that will sound good, or whatever. Basically, you're dealing with some level of deception. And so that is an incredible tool that he has within his belt. Hateful, the idea of walking in hate. Boy, we couldn't really step in that hole this morning, but you just watch the news for a little while, and you can see these candidates as they continue to show hate one for another. Some of their comments have suggested that they have hate for other people, and certainly hate is a problem in the world today. Hate, there are laws against hate crimes because it is such a problem. And so hate has always been a problem, and I would imagine that it will continue to be a problem. Certainly we pray that this would be squelched in our country, and that's a daily prayer for each of us. But it is a problem, it has been a problem, and I would imagine will continue to be a problem to some degree. In verses 4 through verse 7, we see this topic really of God's mercy and the fact that salvation is made possible because of his great mercy. He draws like a contrast, you know, between the evil of our sinful past and the goodness of where we are now, which is a child of God, a Christian.
Especially as he ended that, hating one another, but
right.
But when the kindness And the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Wow. That's about a two-hour discussion right there. But notice that the kindness and love of God has appeared. Yesterday we talked about His love appearing, the grace of God appearing to all men. And you know, that's truly a loving thing. Because as we see around us, individuals that, you know, are members of ISIS or individuals that certainly have no appreciation or love for Him that loved us first, it's amazing that He has still poured out His grace unto all men. And so this kindness, the love of God and our Savior has appeared to man. And so what is about to be presented to us, even in verse, you know, number 5, is really being prepared for us here in this particular statement that He makes in verse number 4. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Did you know that you can't buy your way to heaven? Did you know that you can't go out and dig enough ditches or, you know, spend enough money on the poor or whatever to buy your way to heaven? It's all about the heart, really, and that's another conversation in and of itself. But according to His mercy, you remember Richard just read, He saved us. And so what is mercy? It seems that maybe a good definition would be an outward manifestation of pity. The situation in which we find ourselves is lost in sin. And God loved us enough, and go back and read Romans 5, verses 6 through 9. He loved us so much that while we were in sin, while we were yet still sinners, He sent His Son to this earth, put on flesh, John chapter 1 and verse 14. We beheld His glory, and He lived a perfect life, showing us that it can be done. And then He gave His life willingly. He said, no man takes my life, but He lays it down for us. He gave it willingly so that we could have that access to the tree on the other side of Jordan if we live faithfully to Him. And what a beautiful thought that is.
I mean, right here in this whole section, I mean, it's His love and His mercy and His grace. You know, that's how man will be saved.
That's right.
We cannot run from that truth. But that does not negate, you know, the expectation that God has for man. God's done everything. He's done His part. And now man must accept the conditions of that pardon.
That's right.
But, you know, when we look at this, and I don't know, somebody once said, whoever it was, I like the definition, grace was, you know, God giving us that which we do not deserve, and His mercy was not giving us that which we do deserve.
That's exactly right.
You know, and so both are seen here in our section.
Absolutely. So notice here that, you know, maybe you already heard this in the reading, but I heard, as Richard read verse 5, you know, reflecting in the background, I heard Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. Washing of water by the word. You will be washed and you will be raised. And so we have to understand that if you're going to enter into the kingdom, then you will do it by water, and you certainly do it by authority of Jesus Christ. And so a lot of that, you know, my head, you know, continually rings with these references.
Well, the Apostle Paul, who pens this as well, one who saw the mercy and the grace of God, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor, he said, before, but now he has extended this to him. He's received this. But what was he told to do? He said that he would be a pattern for others.
Yeah.
Well, he was washed. You know, here is that man who came in contact with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He's told to go into the city and be told him what he must do. He goes there. He's waiting those 3 days. He's praying mm-hmm. and fasting. Mm-hmm. So we have a penitent prayer, praying man, believing man, mm-hmm. who's a lost man, because it's not until later when Ananias comes to him, and Paul recounts this event. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in Acts 9 when it happens. Acts 22, he recounts it. Acts 26, he recounts mm-hmm. it. But in Acts 22, he says, and Ananias says to Paul, "Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." This washing that took place is a washing away of past sins.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get around it. I mean, man tries to avoid it, mm-hmm. but we cannot get around it.
So if you're going to... if you're going to have your sins remitted, if you're going to be washed, even as you see in Revelation 1:5, in the blood of Jesus, then it is that we learn that through the Holy Spirit. We learn that through His work. And so it is through the washing of the water and the Word that we have the opportunity to experience the wonderful grace and mercy of God Almighty. And so why would anybody want to teach their way around that? 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says it is at the point of baptism where a man is saved. And so when the Bible clearly defines God's terms of salvation, I don't know why anybody would not want to adhere strictly to what He has to say. He saved us not by works of righteousness that we did ourselves. We don't buy our way into heaven. We don't punch our ticket. We obey what He has, you know. I've said it before because it's so silly and it's easy to understand, but if He had told me that I had to wear a red T-shirt on Tuesdays and Thursdays in order to be saved, you know, I wouldn't necessarily understand that, you know, but, boy, I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat just because He said to do it.
And that's, you know, Chip, that's one of those things for the longest time as a young man, I didn't quite understand the necessity of baptism and why it was necessity.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible does explain, mm-hmm. You know, for us that it is the death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 Corinthians 15, and that's the old man has died. He's buried in the water, and he's raised to walk in newness of life. There's that death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, he doesn't tell us exactly how is, you know, and why he chose water in this way and all of these things. But we do see that water also referring back to Genesis 7 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time of the flood waters that came. That's what Peter says, the like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we open our hearts and our minds to the revealed Word of God, then a good and honest heart is going to do what God says because God said it, period.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, you know, we have a full understanding explanation of every little thing of why, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I think it's there in Colossians 2, beginning at around verse number 12. See this idea of being raised to walk, this baptism that takes place, and it is the operation of God to remove the transgressions, you know. You know, you come out of the water, I mean, you might be freezing to death, you know, you're obviously wet, but you don't see that there's sin there in the water. You don't see those things, and people become confused because their finite minds can't quite get their arms around some of these concepts. And so that's where faith and belief absolutely come in. God said He'd remove the transgression if you'll just do what He asks. And so do you believe that? If you do, then go forward with it. It's the idea of renewing your mind, even as we just read in this particular verse, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Sean mentioned Romans chapter 12, verse 2 yesterday, this renewing of the mind. It's made possible by God's Word. And so this renewal is something that God is interested in, something that I need to be interested in as well.
And, you know, Sean pointed out that Paul is that example that shows no matter how bad we were, you know, we can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see even here and in Corinth. You know, what does he say? We used to be these things.
Mm-hmm.
We were haters and hateful and hating one another and all of this. And the same thing in Corinth. We were those. We were, you know, this list of individuals. But, you know, God can and will pardon us of those past iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
When we submit ourselves to His condition.
And that's the key. Again, John 14:15, we reference on a regular basis, if you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 15 and verse 14 of the same letter there. You know, you can be his friend, certainly by doing what he requires of us. Another idea that we could spend some great deal of time on, if we so desired, was this idea of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of misunderstanding about it today, but we understand that the operation of the Holy Spirit is made possible through the Word. So many people today, they talk about getting the Spirit and Holy Spirit baptism and all these different things that come from a misunderstanding or even a twisting of the Scriptures. But we understand here, how would you know about baptism if it weren't for the revealing of the Holy Spirit? Even in Ephesians chapter 3, you know, that discussion that Paul has about the revealing process. And he says, along verse 3 or 4 there, he says that you can understand my knowledge, even as I have written it down in the mystery of God. That wonderful plan of salvation that was in the mind of God, even from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8, even as the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And so the Holy Spirit is an amazing force for good, and we have access to that great power today through the Word. And so being obedient to the Spirit's decree, being obedient to the Word that we have before us, the inerrant Word of God, will show us how to find a renewal, how to follow this process of regeneration. All this is made possible by the Holy Spirit.
Paul says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6. He said that God's will had been revealed to man, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 21, by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so the Holy Spirit is active in the lives of individuals and the lives of Christians.
Right.
It operates on us through the revelation of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And we can know God's will by that revelation.
And that, again, you know, even gets back to the topic of mercy and grace, because, you know, it shows how much love he has for us in that he didn't just leave us groping in the dark. You know, you'll hear people, you know, after auto accidents or plane crashes or something, you know, and they'll ask, well, you know, I don't know why I'm here. You know, God saved me from this particular wreck or something. He must have some kind of a mission for me. Yeah. Same thing that Solomon wrote, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. We're here to serve him and glorify his name. And so that's made possible because he has revealed what he wishes for us, even in his word. And so that just shows his love. He's given us the map. He's given us the opportunity to follow his will and to do what's pleasing. And so we could find ourselves even in that great book that those in Hebrews 11 find themselves in. We're justified by his grace, again, that which we didn't deserve. But the great sermon that came out of that, just if I'd never sinned, the word justified. And so being justified by his grace, not by my works, not by anything that I've done, not punching my card every Sunday morning, but being justified by his grace through the work of the word, we should be made heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. You know, this is a great thing that we have on this side of Jordan. You know, you see many commercials on a daily basis for wounded warriors and folds of glory and things of that nature to give hope to wounded soldiers and their families. There's St. Jude Hospital. There's Cancer Centers of America. All these places exist because people need hope. And as a child of God, we have hope in eternal life because of what God did for us through Christ. And through our obedience, then, we can lay hold on that crown that Timothy was being told about, even as Paul told him in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. So that great hope is something that helps us get from day to day, isn't it? Let's look at, for a few minutes here, I know we're running close to our time mark this morning, but as we look from verses 8 through 11, basically we just get some more wonderful admonitions from the apostle.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned.
Mm. So here we have these admonitions, these warnings, to watch out. You hear mom and dad from a young age saying, don't touch that, or don't do that, don't go over there, because there's danger on the other side. And so, again, he's reminding us, you remember back in verse number one, he's reminding us of these things that are beneficial for us in our daily lives for Christ. He says, this is a faithful saying. We've talked about that several times here recently on this program. Paul uses these words. It's a true saying. It's absolutely confirmed in heaven. He says, these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Affirming is a strong word indeed. It's something that is intensive, making sure. It denotes to assert strongly. Some of our scholarly, like Vines and Strong's, have told us. You see the directness in his language here, and so this is what I want you to affirm. And notice, not just once or from time to time, but constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Hadn't we already talked about that? You see, we're constantly reminded that we should be involved in good works. We are involved in doing that which is pleasing before God. And if you want to know how to live your mornings for the Master, if you want to know how to live your life in accordance with God's will, I tell you this, it's got something to do with being involved in good works on a regular basis. These things are good and profitable. So he mentions the good and profitable, and then he makes a turn even in his pen here, and he talks about that which is unprofitable. You know, Richard, I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 4, where he says, wherever there's virtue, wherever there's praise, think on these things, right? Why worry with that which is unprofitable? I could sit around today and wonder, man, I wonder if it's going to rain. I wonder if it's going to rain. I wonder if it's going to rain, and miss all kinds of wonderful opportunities for a host of other things, because and I don't have anything to do with the rain. You know, I don't have anything to do with many things in this life, but spending my time wondering what color the ark was, or did Adam have a belly button, or, you know, a million other things is not going to help me get to heaven. But the things that I need to do, as he suggests here, is being involved in good works. He says, avoid these things. And so he mentions a list of things here. Foolish questions, genealogies. Yeah, you know, Jesus was faced with the same thing on a regular basis. You know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, all these individuals from time to time you read in the four gospel accounts were facing Jesus on a regular basis, asking him all kinds of things. You know, is it right for us to pay taxes? Or, you know, they're always trying to jab him and trying to trip him up in his words. And each time, whether he bent down and wrote in the dirt or whether he answered them with another question, if you tell me, then I'll tell you. Each time they were confounded. And so foolish questions is something that Jesus even dealt with on a regular basis. The genealogies, boy, the Pharisees loved the genealogies. Now, they didn't have driver's license, right, in their day. And so genealogies were absolutely important. We're reminded on many cases that the Pharisees, you know, the Jewish individuals, they traced their lineage, which was very important. You remember Jesus was where? From the tribe of Judah. That's a genealogy, right? The root of Jesse. That's a genealogy. All these things are absolutely important, but this consistent repetition, we be of Abraham's seed. Well, we already knew that, right? And so some of these things that are mentioned here bring about contentions and strivings. You remember our discussion recently about strivings? I think it was Richard and I had the opportunity to talk about that. Fighting. about the law, fighting about things. We need to stay far away from that, don't we? Let brotherly love continue. I think that's Hebrews 13, verse 1. That's what we need to be focused on, doing good works unto all men, especially those of household of faith, not wasting our time in things that are not going to benefit our soul, things that cause contentions, things that cause fightings, things that cause discord. Ooh, Proverbs 6, beginning at about verse 16. One of those things that God hates is a man that sows discord. You know, as you look back to the qualifications of an elder and a deacon, they are men that are not to strive. They are not to be fighters. They are not to be contentious individuals. And he mentions even these individuals, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition reject. Here's the opportunity I see, and maybe I hope I've got this right, but the idea of giving him the opportunity to repent of such a thing, giving him an opportunity to recant what it is that he has spoken in error after the first and second admonition. You have an opportunity to get straight with an individual. That might take us back to Matthew 18, where we see a conflict resolution. There is a process. We don't just immediately withdraw fellowship from an individual. That's the end. That's the last thing in order to save a soul. But here, a man that is a heretic, an individual that is speaking such things, a person that would seek to shipwreck a soul after the first and second admonition, after you've had these two opportunities, after you've been able to have good discussions, then reject. Avoid and reject. We're to stay away from those things that would hurt us, right? Knowing that he, right, that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Here's the description of the heretic. Here's an individual that is caught up in foolish questions and genealogies, a person that is set on strife and controversy. And, you know, we've met people in our lives. We may have people in our own families, and you see them at Thanksgiving once a year. And that's all they want to do is complain and start fights and cause controversy, you know, bringing up the past, drudging up painful things. And this kind of a person is unprofitable. And so we are to avoid these topics. We are to avoid these types of people. But certainly we should be, you know, concerned about a man's soul. But some people are just set on doing evil, aren't they?
And he says, you know, that this man, this type of individual, the one who's doing these things and these disputes and all of this, this is unprofitable. But he just said, this is profitable to man. Mm-hmm. These things are good and profitable to men. What are these things? Well, and that is that you should be careful to maintain good works. Mm-hmm. James says that when I live a faithful lifestyle, then a byproduct of my faithfulness to God is going to be works. Mm-hmm. By my works, you will see my faithfulness, my mm-hmm. faith. And so, you know, the idea of it, when we're striving working to do these things, then we will be a profitable individual. It's almost like you mentioned the book of Philemon, you know, and we have there Onesimus, the profitable or unprofitable one. You know, mm-hmm. he says he who was unprofitable is now profitable.
Right.
There are times when maybe we had, and at here again, we used to be these. We used to be unprofitable people. Mm-hmm. But now we can be profitable to the cause of Christ. Mm.
And the end, you know, of the verse there, verse 11, said he's done this to himself, right? And so even as you mentioned, you know, we deceive ourselves. What a horrible thing to face the judgment in the last day, knowing that we have deceived our own selves. You know, that's the last thing that any of us would want to do. Well, we have these basic closing remarks, which is typical of Paul as he wraps a letter up. And so we see much of that in verses 12 through 15. And Let's just take a second and read those verses together.
When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Amen. And here we go, you know, with yet another mention of good works. He's driving that point home. Got to be involved with that. He's talking about here about sending Artemis or Tychicus, these individuals that I understand through his words are profitable. These individuals that are beneficial to the kingdom. Artemis was known to Titus, but, you know, I don't know any more about him. I wish I did know a little bit more about him. Tychicus appears in the record several times. You see him over in Acts 20 and Ephesians 6. And you might look at your column references there. You'll see Colossians 4 and 2 Timothy 4. So we know a little bit more about Tychicus. But somehow or another, they were traveling companions. They were helpers. They were beneficial to the work. And so isn't it wonderful that someone like this would be mentioned, even by Paul, as being beneficial to the work? Zenas, the lawyer, I don't know that he's anywhere else mentioned in the New Testament. So I don't know a lot about him other than he's the lawyer. And Apollos, we do know much about him. We've seen him mentioned several times, perhaps even beginning at about verse Acts 18. So we do know a little bit about Apollos, one that was even corrected, one that could go on to be a even more profitable to the kingdom, having learned that which was good and profitable with meekness and understanding from those that were teaching. And let ours learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. You know, we have this opportunity here to notice that works, these good works that have been mentioned several times in this one chapter, are profitable, they're necessary. And notice here, an additional admonition that we get is that it is the process of bearing fruit. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." And so here we find that Paul says they are necessary, and it is the process of bringing about good fruit. The American Standard here says, "Let our people also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." There it is. We don't want to be unfruitful in the kingdom. And here's the way to obtain that. Be about the business of doing good works. And then finally, all that are with me, salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Isn't that a wonderful thing to consider? You know, when we travel around the country, Richard mentions it regularly, that anywhere you go, there's brethren in the faith, people that love us in the faith all over the country. And you always have a place to stay. You'll always have a meal to eat. You'll always have a brother in Christ with which to pray and to worship. And so these individuals greet you, and grace be with you all. That grace that has been given by God, that's seen even in the propitiation that is in the Christ. And so these great greetings, these great admonitions to continue in the work, which is profitable, stay away from the unfruitful, stay away from the unprofitable, and you'll certainly be pleasing in God's sight. We have a wonderful 15 verses before us today, and I hope they've been as beneficial to you as they have been beneficial to us. We always appreciate your attendance. Certainly appreciate Brother Richard rushing in here from his pastoral duties and helping us. We understand that this hour has been beneficial, and we appreciate those of you that make a regular mention that this is your morning devotional time. We appreciate the attention that you give to Mornings for the Master, and so we try to do a good job with the exegesis of the Scriptures. But keep your emails coming in, keep your notifications coming in about the passages that we're covering. If you need us to cover a meeting or something for us, for you rather, you can contact us through office@tgrn.org. Programming notes as to what we've discussed or questions about what we've said. Maybe you missed a phone number that we threw out earlier in our bulletin board. Find us online at mornings@tgrn. Brother Ryan will be glad to hear from you. But we're here to serve you, and we hope that we've been that today. And we thank you for your attendance. Sean, we're glad that you were on board today. We appreciate your good comments and appreciate what you're doing for the Lord and studying to be a preacher of the gospel. Appreciate Jody for being online. And all those that are listening that maybe didn't chime in, we're glad you were here as well. And so as we sign off today.
Yeah, I just want to say also thanks, Sean, for reminding us about the Lubbock Lectures.
Yes.
We ended up not getting a flyer this year for some reason.
Hmm.
They didn't come in. And so that was one that keeps falling through the cracks each day as we were coming up to it. So hopefully they've had a good, successful time out there.
I bet they have. So stay tuned today for more Faithful Programming. Look forward to Kevin Ruiz and John McCormack and others as they come up throughout the day. So stay tuned for more gospel broadcasting here on the Gospel Radio Network. We love each of you, and we look forward to the next opportunity we have to study together. God bless.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.